Well, hello again there, folks. So I thought I'd have a quick video about what's going on with the state of things, because I don't know about you, but I feel as if I sort of went to sleep and then I've woke up back and sort of back to futured myself back to 2005 with some of the rhetoric that I see going along here. Because of course you've got the recent bloody events going on in the Middle East. And you see the hysterical reaction to it, where the sort of what we're seeing, which I find concerning, is the return of the sort of a neoconservative, and that's been sort of re-emerging for a while with Ukraine and whatnot. But because now we're into the Middle East and Israel in particular, what we're seeing, I'm seeing, is all of this kind of resurgence of the counter jihad sort of takes and scene, and even individuals who were propagated in the first place. And I think it's a depressing state of affairs because, you know, to go back when I was kind of becoming politically awakened, when I was traveling around Europe during the 2000s. The first port of call that you would, for a young man at the time, the first sort of thing that you'd come in contact with when you were disillusioned with the way the West was being run would be the counter-jihad stuff. And which was understandable at the time. You had the war against terror. It was the aftermath of 9/11. You had terror attacks going on over Europe. And so you could kind of understand it. You could kind of understand why there were so many people who were sick and tired and pissed off with the situation. And then it kind of died out. It sort of died out. I would say it actually got crushed in the run up to the Trump and the Great Meme War, when things became a lot more centered on white people, Europeans. And less on the Middle Eastern politics, even though at that time there was still a ton of people coming in, you know, the refugee crisis of 2015, which was still kind of connected to it. But those sort of talking points were pushed back against. And what we're seeing now this week is the reemergence of it. We don't know where this is all going to go. Hopefully it'll all kind of dwindle away. Hopefully, I mean, I did an article on Substack saying welcome to the new current thing, where you can see my takes on it. And I thought one of the things that I underestimated was just how sort of unhinged. I mean, I remember when I wrote the article, it was that they had like fake aeroplane shots and it was going around. And then like as soon as I posted the article, the stuff about the beheaded baby started coming out, and the rhetoric just got more and more kind of inflamed. And what I also saw was that in sort of lapping up in sort of right-wing Twitter and right-wing social media was a return to these talking points. And the Tory government has come out and said they are going, they're now throwing out red meat. So they are saying that, I think the flag of Hamas might be banned in the UK or something like that. And what's happening is that people pick that up. There's certain factions, the sort of Tory boy faction, the sort of the GB news types, and they kind of really go to town on that. And so it's as if they can kind of, all the frustrations that people have got. I mean, I think there's an element of it where they just go along with what power wants. And they think that's kind of really based. They think that's we're actually getting somewhere, and I fundamentally completely disagree that that's the case. I don't think this is good for us at all, especially when we're considering like bringing in more censorship laws, because we've been there before. We've literally been there before with Tony Blair. A lot of people forget it now, but at the height of all of this craze in the 2000s, the hate speech laws were actually pitched as shutting down imams. Now, in Britain, our free speech is just completely in tatters. We live in a surveillance state. And I think when people begin to start and say, well, we need more censorship because it's only going to affect that other group, I think it's absolutely retarded. And so straight away you see the problems of being led up the garden path once again on this issue, where any bit of red meat, like there's no kind of looking ahead. So when everybody got excited, everybody thought Tony Blair and the Labour Party were going to use hate speech laws just to close down sort of Islamic radicals and mosques or whatever they call them. There was all this thing in the Daily Mail, the mad mullahs and all of this, and they were coming out with all this crazy stuff in the mosques. And it was like, oh yeah, this is a great thing because we're going to have hate speech laws. The state is stepping in to shut them down. And within a few years, that kind of issue died away a little bit, but the hate speech laws remained on the books and they were turned straight back onto the British population. The last thing the people in Britain need is more censorship, more regulation. I mean, I just cannot believe how stupid people are to go along with just get excited for this and not think in the long term whatsoever. And then you see the kind of the wider ginning everybody up into this bloodlust. And this too, I just find really problematic when you bring in the counter jihad stuff, because it isn't for us. We've got the highest levels of immigration ever. So, and if things go all to hell in the Middle East, we may get terror attacks again in Britain. But let's not forget that if that happens, it's because of the Tory party open border policy. I mean, who are all of these people washing up in these dinghies? Who are all of these people a million a year flying in, particularly ones in the boats? And so it's like, well, this is the policies that the government have for us. Like we are strictly monitored. Our speech is curtailed. Any kind of dissident sort of nationalist party will be censored. People get removed from social at the behest, explicit behest of the government, it seems more and more. And then all of a sudden, you're allowed out. You're allowed out to play. You're allowed to come out and say some things about Muslims which you wouldn't normally be allowed to say. And so people are like, get all excited for that, but it isn't there to benefit us, and it isn't going to be allowed to benefit us. Being allowed because power wants it to be allowed. It's being allowed because it's the geopolitical interests of the power structure itself. Now, when it comes to this particular issue, you can read into that what you want. But of course, I've got to be careful what I see on YouTube because the Anti-Defamation League has set the censorship policies. So I'll probably be able to say something which is aligned with their view, of course, which is also the view of the British government. But when it comes to saying what is in the best interest for the British people, well, there is none. It doesn't exist. And I'll give you an example of how that doesn't exist. So if you want to go all in on this, and it's a case of we need to support more forever wars in the Middle East to back up Israel, then and this is kind of like, what is the reason for that then? What is it there? Why should somebody like me care what happens in the Middle East? Because to be honest, I don't. I've always been a bit of a little Englander. I've always sort of been suspicious about foreign adventurism and wars and this kind of thing, and especially when it's in the Middle East, because it doesn't have anything to do with us. I just don't see why this should affect us in Britain. I don't see how our interests as British people are somehow magically connected to the Middle East, so much so that when it's kicking off over there, we're allowed to come out and say things which we wouldn't normally be allowed to say. This sort of cathartic way that you can vent your frustrations in a completely controlled and conditioned way, which the power wants you to do. And all of these sort of influencers and politicians and pundits, like they're not even playing some kind of Machiavellian game where they can say, well, okay, we will support what you want, but we want the following. We want The border's closed. We want all of these asylum seekers shipped back home. We want all of these things. You can name them off. There are them. You could whatever you want. Whatever will be in our interest. So they could say, we will support you in this quid pro quo way, but we want the following. But firstly, there's nobody like that to represent the native British people, because the Tory government themselves would see them destroyed. The British deep state would see them destroyed. So there is no voice which can claim to represent the British people's interests in the way there is for Israel, for example. So what happens is they just go along unconditionally and immediately jump on it when there's absolutely no reason to. There's nothing in it for us, and they're not even going to get anything for us. Imagine where you just sign up, in this game of power, where in this kind of trading system, where you don't even have any chips. You can't even win. There's nothing in it for you at all. And what the response to this will be, well, maybe there is if, well, I've got to be careful because it's YouTube. Maybe there will if certain populations begin to get deported, or there's a clampdown on terrorism and all of this kind of thing. Now, we, yeah, okay. But shouldn't that just be what the government does anyway? And isn't the problem that we have to do this vicariously through another group who will cut that off at any moment? Who will, when they get what they want out of you, they will say, okay, now that's done, we're going to put it away like they did before. But we will still be left with all of the legislation. We will still be left with more hate speech laws. And it's just not in our interest. Any of this, it doesn't. That's not how power works. It's not how power functions. If you're being allowed to say these things, it isn't because the government has something in your interest. It's because it wants you to do it. It wants you to tune in to Piers Morgan's fire and brimstone rhetoric, calling on the Americans pretty much to go boots on the ground, all in insanity. Because that's what they want you to do. That's what they, this is the on my Substack article, I said this is the new current thing. Why is it that people, well, some people were skeptical on the pandemic thing. They were skeptical about the Ukraine thing, but they're going all in on this because there's a temptation there where we can actually get some kind of based policies. We can actually get something which benefits us finally. That's not the case with the counter jihad. It never has been the case. It is there to use that sentiment. It is there to redirect that energy into supporting the policies of the Israeli government. It's always been that way, and you never get anything out of it except, firstly, more hate speech laws or more regulation about what can and can't be said, which they're already talking about back at home. And then on top of that, which I haven't even touched on yet, you also are very, very likely to see wave after wave after wave of refugees, the likes we've never seen before in Europe. And that's the repercussions of the direction that things are going in. I mean, isn't it already bad enough? Imagine just the filth of this government, where they've pretty much had an open border, an open the English Channel has just been a free for all. They've been putting all of these people up in asylums, seekers in hotels, and like they don't know who these people are. I mean, and yet now they're willing to, now that there's millions of them being allowed in, they're now willing to stoke up all of the rhetoric. They're allowing tensions to rise, which will see the people they allowed in take offence. And we don't know if they're foreign soldiers. We don't know if they're jihadists, because the filth in government doesn't care. Either they do know and they don't care, or they're just too stupid to even consider that possibility. But where we are now is that they've allowed all of these columns in, and then at the same time they're going to say, okay, now we're going to stoke up tensions in the Middle East. There's a theory going around on the internet that all of this is on purpose, and that it's like a sort of it's a they've imported basically a standing army. I don't believe that. I don't think that's how they would go about it, but it illustrates sort of how distrusted the people are about the government, and the idea that you can allow all of these people in and then engage in all of the this foreign policy adventurism against the nations of the where those people come from, against their religion. It's absolute madness. And the again, I just think it's not our business, and I urge people not to go up this garden path of counter jihad mumbo jumbo once again, because we end up worse off for it. It's not there for us, it's there to benefit other people, and it's not our interests that are being advanced, it's those of another people. And it's depressing. It's depressing to see its kind of putrid, rotten corpse coming back up again. I mean, it's I don't normally do these kinds of videos anymore, but I just felt like it needed to be said. And because I didn't think things would get so crazy so quickly when I wrote the Substack article. Hopefully, this video will age terribly, and in a few weeks, this will all be put to bed, and people will be negotiating. The rhetoric will have died down. That's what I hope. I hope it's one of those kind of videos where I look back a few years and think, yeah, that was probably a little bit over the top. That was probably a little bit off the mark there. But just as I my impression, looking at the rhetoric, looking at the way things are going now, is that the counter jihad crap is going to come back, and you're going to hear more and more about the sort of our Judeo-Christian values. And another thing, what it does is, because it's specifically against the Islam rather than sort of Black Lives Matter or all of this woke stuff that's been going on, or all of the critical race theory stuff, none of that will be addressed by this, none of it. It all comes down to issues of the West Bank, about Iran's nuclear weapon, again, issues which are not our concern, to be frank. And it'll not lead us anywhere. And people are going up the garden path again. And it's just totally futile. And it's just sad to see this thing. This thing coming back again. It is the issues of the day. It doesn't address it because it's like 20 odd years out of date, and it won't be addressed. You know, whatever your frustrations are, but the borders, there'll be nothing happening about mass immigration. If you go back to the 2000s when all of this kicked off again, that's actually when it began in earnest. Invade the world, invite the world, and they're going to try and pull this bullshit over again. So we'll see. Hopefully nothing happens. Hopefully nothing happens. But I would just say, watch out for this, and watch out for the kind of insidious way they'll imply that you're kind of on the side of the thing. I'm just on the side of the British people. I always have been. So anyway, just a quick sort of hot take of a video there. Hopefully it ages terribly, and we're not talking about this in a few weeks' time. Take care out there, folks. I'll catch you later.